It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I appreciate each of you for listening today. You know, if you're a long-term listener, you know I link nutrition to heart disease, and I link nutrition to depression, and I link nutrition to diabetes, I link nutrition to arthritis, I link nutrition to foot pain, I link nutrition to macular degeneration, and I link nutrition to autism. Today we're going to examine the link between nutrition and autism. And so if you have a family or a friend who has a child with autism, you know, just take a minute and call them and ask them to tune into the show, because I know that some of the things that we're going to share today, some of that information will be helpful to that child. So I am very, very pleased to welcome Deb Reeves as our co-host today. And I know we're going to have fun today because she's a fun lady. And she has great stories about how nutrition has helped her family. So, Deb, welcome. And I know as a nurse, you have helped yourself actually reduce pain and inflammation in your feet just through nutrition. So tell listeners what happened. How did that work?
Now, Dar, you got it wrong. I didn't help myself. You helped me to help myself. Without you, I don't know where we'd be. You have helped me on so many levels. And the last crisis I had was plantar fasciitis or bone spur. And you really, really helped me. I didn't realize that it all came back to the sugar and the inflammation that caused. And then the antacids I took to counteract the reflux of the indigestion due to the consumption of sugar. So it all comes back to sugar and you, once again. Thank you again for my nice, happy feet.
Well, now I have a story to tell, Deb. Someone was listening last time you were on our show, and we were talking about that inflammation you had in your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our mail carriers was listening, and she was experiencing the same thing. And so she went off of sugar, and all the pain and inflammation went out of her feet. So you made a difference with somebody.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Nobody has to walk around like that. And here, when I went to the doctor, they said it would be chronic, and this would be something that I would probably be suffering from the rest of my life, as well as my tendonitis, which was happening at the same time.
And, you know, being on your feet a lot, that makes sense.
Oh, as a nurse, absolutely, during the night, all night long, and just every step feeling like somebody's putting a spike in it is just incredible. So once again, thank you so much, because I put the pieces together with what you taught in your classes, which are invaluable.
Well, thank you. And you know, people that have been longtime listeners have heard them talk about her husband Larry and the wonderful results. So people that haven't been longtime listeners, Deb, I just want you to recap a little bit, because that's how we got to spending some time together originally many, many years ago. It's about 6 now, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yes, 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 6 or 7 years. Well, you know, Larry was experiencing terrible health problems. I mean, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and was on 6 medications, at least 6. And the doctor said the next step was insulin. And that's when I started to panic as a nurse. And I didn't know what else to do. It was one of the darkest times in my life. I mean, I adore this man. I mean, he's my knight in shining armor. And to think that I could lose him was more than I could take. And I just happened to stumble across a brochure that had about jumpstart your metabolism. Mm-hmm. And it said, talked about insulin resistance and the key words. And I said, you know, maybe. What else do we have to lose? And so I convinced Larry to take the course, and I happened to listen to the last few minutes of it. We talked about it all the way home, and we incorporated what he learned, starting with the eggs fried in butter, which sounds, you know, for somebody that's got high cholesterol, it's like, oh, my God, what am I doing, and high lipids.
Mm-hmm.
And within less than a couple of months, turned all his lab values around. And the first radio show that I came on and did, I brought in the lab results, and it showed the triglycerides going from 1,300 down to under 200, and his cholesterol in the high 200s going down to 140, and his fasting blood sugar, glucose, which was over 200, going down into the low 100s. And it was all because of the changes that we made because of a two-hour, let me say a two-hour course, which changed his life and my life. And I fully anticipate rocking and sitting in our rocking chairs on our porch in our 80s or 90s because of you. I very well could have been a widow by now.
And you know, it was just a community education class out in the community that I happened to be teaching with my friend Barb, and we had a great time that night, and obviously we made some big changes for people.
Big changes. And it's life-altering.
Yeah. And honestly, Deb, I hear many, many people, they come into the office or they come in for a consultation and they still remember Larry's story, and it's really powerful. But the nice thing is, what are his numbers now? Have they gone back up?
No, he has maintained them for the most part. He has done that because we've made the changes that we need to make. We now know what our body needs to perform at its optimum level because of you. And these are not, I mean, they're not hard changes. And the course is so interesting. It's just amazing to me. And I've taken that Jumpstart Metabolism a couple of times. I've also been in the six-week course. And to watch the light bulbs go off in their head, and they make the connection between an ailment they have and the reason that they have it. Without going to a doctor to get medications that will only treat the symptom, you've treated the cause. And it put so many people on the right track. I mean, Dara, I am forever grateful to you. And that's why I'm here today. I don't work for Weight and Wellness. I'm here because...
I wish she did.
I'm here because of what Dara has done for my family and continues to do.
So that brings us to your son. And you had said you really wanted to talk about your son's diet, his change, because... tell us a little bit about Will.
My son, William, and he's 17, was born with Asperger's. Now, it wasn't the result of...
So what is that? I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know what that is.
Asperger's is the highest form of autism. It's high-functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born with it. His is not the result of immunization. He, as a newborn, I knew there was something amiss when they put him in my arms. I mean, I was just... I was a pediatric nurse for a lot of years, and it's like...
Okay,
you know,
so you knew right away.
I knew there was something, but it wasn't until kindergarten... that the school psychologist called me, and she identified herself as being the school psychologist. And I said, are you calling to tell me my son is autistic? And she said, how do you know? I said, I've always known. I'm just waiting for somebody to validate it.
Okay. So now so Will is not a small guy, is he? How old is he?
Will is 17. He is over 6'4", and he wears size 13 shoes. They're like rowboats in the way when I walk in from the garage, these big shoes. He's a big, strapping, gentle giant.
And so he's got some really unique abilities, doesn't he?
He does. He does. The thing with Asperger's is that's characteristic of it, is that the kids have a fascination. They say that Thomas Jefferson and Bill Gates have autism, have Asperger's.
Okay.
And some of the people that have contributed some of the largest contributions in our lifetime or several lifetimes have had Asperger's because they concentrate on something and they don't give it up. They're tenacious with it.
But what are some of maybe his deficits then? Because he's got a lot of concentration abilities
in his special areas, he certainly does. But he doesn't have the ability to pick up clues or to interact the way we'd like him to be. You know, in other words, socially inappropriate at times. And just, he's a square peg living in a round peg world.
So what did you, Deb, before you started changing your eating... what kind of breakfast would Will typically have for breakfast? What would he have?
Will had the breakfast of champions, the same thing, the same thing I grew up on. Only, the cereals have gotten better tasting. So Cinnamon Toast Crunch and that Reese's Puff, that peanut butter puff cereal, was a staple. And my son, being the size that he is, it wasn't just a regular cereal bowl full.
A cup?
No. He would probably have 3, 4, or 5, maybe even 6 servings because he's such a big kid.
Yes.
And so I was, here's milk. And Dara, they say now with whole grains. So I think I'm doing something good for my child because I am giving him whole grains in the morning. And Dara, how much sugar was I giving that child at 5 times a serving?
Probably about 2 cups. Sugar,
oh
as
my.
I kind of went calculated that out, But yeah, probably 2 cups of sugar immediately for breakfast.
And so here I send this autistic child locked and loaded, ready to explode as soon as he went to school, and that's what happened.
And so what was his behavior like at school?
Let me tell you, every day I got a page from an email page saying Willie did this and Willie did this, and then this happened, then Willie did this, and it just went on. You know, Willie threw a pencil. You know, Willie poked at a kid. It just went on and on about behaviors, because it's like he couldn't sit still and he was doing something. And I just thought this was going to be the norm. You know, I've got a child with a handicap, and this is what I'm to expect.
So then after you took the weight and wellness classes and you just kind of started changing your diet and Larry's diet, then you said, oh, must be right for the kids too, right?
Well, isn't it, you know, how strange that is, that I think that Larry's from a different planet and only he should eat right and the rest of us eat whatever we want. And when I took the 6-week course, all the puzzle pieces fit together and I said, whoa, I've got to make big changes. So I sat down with the kids. At this time, I was buying, you know, they have the cereal 10 for $10. So I probably had, you know, a kitchen cabinet full of cereal. And I said to the boys, I said, when the last box is done, it's done. Mm-hmm. And then you will have your choice in the morning of a protein drink or eggs. That will be your choice. And at first, they were looking at me like, you know, like I sprouted green ears. what do you think? So now
they're eating eggs or protein shake. And Deb, how is Will's behavior? I mean, are you still getting pages and pages of emails about his behavior?
They are about 2 weeks after we started with the eggs or protein drink. Now it's strictly protein drink. They just love their protein drinks in the morning. They stopped coming. And I said, Lara, what's the computer broke? You know, what's up with this? I
mean, the emails stopped coming.
Yes, the emails. No more emails. And he is so calm, and he's upbeat. It is night and day. And what, I mean, I was doing this to this poor child. He had nowhere else to go. You know, I was raised with the Breakfast of Champions, so that's what, you know, I'm going to have too, is give my kids cereal, and how wrong I was.
So we're actually going to keep talking about autism and nutrition, but right now we're going to take a quick break. So, you know, you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And I kind of want to let parents of college students know that we are available to see children during their holiday break. I know a lot of college students, they actually need a little nutritional support for stress management, maybe some weight control, or how to manage an eating disorder, or even for depression. So we're making ourselves available during the holiday season to see kids. So just give us a call. You know, you can actually call me. It's our number at work is 651-699-3438. And the number here, if you have questions about autism, is 651-641-1071. And we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Deborah Reeves, and a believer in letting nutrition be the solution, and I'm here with Dar Kavis, licensed nutritionist. Autism is a very complicated disorder, and today the only real treatment is a nutrition one. I believe these children have very sensitive biochemistries and need the best nutrition knowledge and nutrition we can provide. Dar and her staff can provide that knowledge in a caring and supporting manner.
We certainly can. So, yeah, but let's take a caller or two here.
Okay.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. A question
Thank
for
you.
Us today?
I do. Would you be willing to make a recommendation for a morning protein shake?
Sure. I mean, we have a couple of different ideas. You know, usually what we do is we have, like, we use organic yogurt unless a person is dairy sensitive. But if you're not dairy sensitive, then organic yogurt, and then some very good quality whey protein powder, fruit, like, you know, berries, and then either a little bit of coconut milk, like a fourth of a cup of coconut milk, or a little bit of whole milk in there, and then a little bit of some kind of extra fat, like maybe a little bit of avocado, or maybe a little bit of peanut butter, or something like that, and then just blend it up. And it's an excellent shake.
My guys prefer the chocolate, and I put peanut butter in it for Willie. Ryan likes it just mixed with milk. I like it with the organic peanut butter myself, but I use water with mine. I'm not a big milk drinker.
Okay.
It tastes good. A little ice in it to make it. It's very tasty. If you add things to it, it's very good. And I actually crave them now.
Okay, and for cocoa, are you using cocoa powder in there for chocolate?
I use just a tiny bit of Hershey's unsweetened cocoa just to give it a kick, but some of the whey protein does come in chocolate
mm-hmm.
flavored.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where do you recommend grabbing whey powder at? Can you?
Well, I mean, we have it at our office. I think one of the things, whenever you buy one, you know, you can buy protein powder that is organic, and that's what a lot of people prefer because they want it from a really healthy dairy source, or sometimes they're from free range, and that's a little, you know, the cows are free range, grass-fed, so that's another level. And then there's another level that's less expensive, probably not as good a quality, but still, it is a whey protein, so that, you know, people are still getting protein in. So I think certainly the organic protein powder is much more expensive. But, you know, again, everyone is at a different level of how they eat. So
okay.
Does that answer any other kinds of questions on that? Or?
Oh, that's a great help, you bet.
Okay.
That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Amy. You know, Deb, let's talk about, because I know we've had several callers that are asking about the protein shake. How do you make it? And there's a lot of different ways to make protein shakes because, you know, some people are dairy sensitive, and still some people can handle the whey protein because it is the protein from dairy, but then some people can't, and they have to actually use a different kind of protein like a rice protein. We really don't recommend soy protein because it's pretty much genetically modified now.
You know, Dar, that's good to know because the emphasis for so long has been on soy.
Yes,
and
it
soy
was.
Protein.
And if you're looking at it helping your brain chemistry, soy does not have all the nutrients in it that it needs to help with that brain chemistry. So it's a much, but you know, if you are dairy sensitive, then you go with your other option of, what's your other option for your boys?
Eggs.
Eggs. You know, and just real eggs and, you know, maybe, you know, a whole grain piece of toast or vegetables. I mean, we really encourage people to eat eggs and vegetables, as everybody knows, for breakfast. And it kind of sets the day for people, and they feel much better. And certainly, if you've got kind of sensitive brain chemistry, you're going to feel better with that.
And one more thing, Jared, just one more thought about the protein drink, is that I find that it tastes much better if it's blended fine.
Yes.
Instead of using a fork or a spoon, because you might be there all day with it. So
right.
We have like a tiny little blender, a beverage blender that we use, and it makes it very good.
I totally agree. So let's take another caller here. Hi, Ann. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. A question today or a comment? Ann?
Yeah, hi. I just had a question. My son has ADHD, mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering the type of diet to follow. I've started to incorporate a gluten-free diet.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else I can do and how to incorporate it into his lunches at school?
Well, I think, you know, the movement to a gluten-free diet is probably a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And to basically make sure that your son is eating frequently.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. You know, kids need to eat every couple of hours, and so you have to send snacks and treats, and that has to be, basically, you need to have meat and some kind of healthy fat and some kind of fruit or some kind of vegetable in many different ways and many different combinations.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we've had really great results with kids that have ADD or ADHD and following a gluten-free diet and being able to help them settle down and focus and just be much more cooperative. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm kind of thinking in terms of creating a class for this one because there seems to be so much need. But we do see a lot of people on an individual basis and help to set up a plan that, you know, sometimes it just takes some problem solving, figuring out what you can get your son to eat or your daughter to eat and to be able to eat several times a day.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, just focusing more on protein versus the carb intake.
Definitely. Focus more on the protein because protein makes those neurotransmitters that help to, mm-hmm. you know, it helps with that focus. So you have to, you know, think of having kids eat protein at least 5 times a day.
Okay.
So.
All right. Sounds great. And how much should he be having? Is there a certain range amount for protein?
Well, you know, 10 or 12 ounces of protein for most are at least that much. Probably 12 or, you know, if he's really active, maybe 12 or 14 ounces of protein a day. And if you think about it, an egg has 1 ounce of protein.
Okay.
So a couple of eggs for breakfast is a good start for most kids.
Yeah, he loves eggs.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. So, it is time to take another break, Deb.
I can't believe it.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, a company that understands that nutrition can and should be the solution to your health problems. You know, think about that statement as you spend Thanksgiving with your family and friends. And I have just something to share. One of my clients, you know, I started seeing her at September 19th. And in that short time from September 19th, she has brought her fasting blood sugars down from 190 down to 120 by just letting food be the solution to solving her diabetes problem. You know, it's nothing fancy. It's real food that tastes great, and it's really healing. So if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Over 2,850 people die daily of heart disease. We hear daily, eat more vegetables and fruits and stop eating processed foods, but still people don't connect their health problems with the nutrition in, and they keep eating the Dairy Queen Blizzard with 48 teaspoons of sugar.
That's one cup.
48 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. And the nachos with partially hydrogenated fats. And some people even have these as a lunch together, a combo.
You know, Deb, I have to tell you, I went searching to find out how many trans fats are in Velveeta cheese, and I could not find it. And so they don't want us to know these things any longer, and that's the stuff that they use in nachos and cheese, you know.
Well, they're getting more clever with their wording on the packages to try to hide it a little further.
I think so.
But you know, Dar, you know, with the uncertainty and the volatility of our current financial system, I'll probably have to work a lot longer than I would like to. So
I bet you would really love to work all the time.
Well, but I mean, all the more reason to concentrate, especially now, on our health. This is one investment that will pay off. And, you know, choose now. Put your family, put yourself first. Learn how to live the best life you can. Increase your energy, decrease your stress, because we could be in for a long road.
We could, yes. And I really think people are starting to do that much more. You know, kind of to get back to that whole topic on autism, because I think most people realize that the rate of autism has increased dramatically in the past 40 years. You know, back in 1970, it was 1 in 10,000 births, and today it is 1 in 133 births. So the cause is still unclear. You know, people say it's the mercury in vaccinations, or it's a sensitivity to gluten and grains, or the casein, that protein in dairy, or it's a lack of vitamin D, or it's consuming trans fats and refined oils, or residues from pesticides. So, Deb, you know, you had mentioned you knew right away.
Well, I knew my son. There was something different about my son. But, you know, Dar, I look back to what I was eating back then as well, and there was not a good fat in the house. There was no olive oil. There was no margarine. And everything was on low fat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that everything that I had was low fat. And, you know, an interesting thing happened.
And Deb, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute because, you know, I don't think that, you know, people out there will say, well, why fat? I mean, you know, why aren't we supposed to do low fat? So why do we need, you know, think about why we need fat when a baby is being developed.
Sure. I mean, that's huge. And, you know, for their development, for their skin, for their organs, for everything.
For the brain.
And most importantly, the brain.
Yes.
The good fats and the fish oils that contribute that, the DHA, yeah.
And it's connecting those dots for people, isn't it?
And back then, Dar, I feel like I was in the dark ages because some, you know, new revelation would come on, you know, eat oats and do this or... and we'd follow the current trend. But it was your classes that put every piece together. You know, once you go through your classes, and especially the six-week course, you don't have any more. You know what your body needs. It's like you have the manual for complete health and mm-hmm. nutrition with your body. And, you know, an interesting thing happened, Dar. I was at a gathering with three other parents that have autistic kids, and we're all friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, just for curiosity's sake, I said, you know, my son was born 18 months after another child. And, mm-hmm. you know, my son is normal. And then mm-hmm. 18 months later, I gave birth to an autistic child.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked these other friends, and it was just kind of curious that the four mothers had the same scenario, that the child with autism was born less than 2 years from another child. So I just wondered, at a time when we're not eating enough fats, if our body didn't have enough to replenish what we had. I mean, it's just a thought, but mm-hmm. it just kind of, it was curious to me.
You were probably eating a lot of processed carbohydrates, too.
I lived on them.
What was your favorite one that you don't eat any longer now?
Crackers. Oh, crackers.
Yes.
Crackers and rice, white rice.
Yes.
And instant mashed potatoes and everything that turns right to sugar.
And I didn't hear the word pasta.
Oh, I'm half Italian. Yo, that's a staple. That was a staple, Dar. Not anymore. But, you know, when you're raised on pasta 3-4 times a week, mm-hmm. and it just turns to sugar. So, I mean, we've just about eliminated that. I don't even think about that anymore because we just don't consume it very much.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just wanting to be able to kind of think about the different possibilities. But so, you know, sometimes, you know, so you kind of think about what could have happened, but then you have to come up with a solution, don't you, Deb?
Right. And as a parent, the cause is not as important as what I can do to help my child. So today I wanted to give our listeners a picture of what a nutritional consultation might look like if you have a child with autism. So, Dar, let's pretend to do a consultation, like for Will.
Well, I wonder if we have time or if we should maybe take a break. Do we have? Oh, John says yes, we should take a break, and then we'll have time.
Okay,
when we
good.
Come back.
Very good.
So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And I'd like to report another successful client. You know, after years and years and years, a client, Betty, you know, she had cramps, she had gas, she had diarrhea, she had pain, and we changed her diet. So there's no more pasta. No more bread, no more crackers, no more soy burgers. And guess what? No more cramps, no more gas, no more diarrhea, and no more pain. So just a complete intestinal makeover in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
So now she can really spend time with her family and friends. So questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I just love the class that Dar and her staff have created. To help you motivate and stay on the healthy food track, they're offering Eat, Drink, and Stay Slim. And this is going to be in Wayzata, Saturday, December 13th. The cost is only $25, and you will leave inspired with new recipes and tips on how to avoid the sugar trap. Just call Hannah today at 952-345-0766 and get signed up. You know what, make it a family affair at that price.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention is that during the holidays and even other times, Deb makes some very special baby bibs for babies that are special. Tell us a little bit about those bibs.
Dara started 17 years ago with a son that always spit up and was a messy, messy baby. So this would be my Will. As a matter of fact, we named the company after Wee Willie.
Okay.
And they're bibs with a pocket that stays open. They'll last long enough where you can use them as rags. They'll never wear out. There's no part to wear out. And they are available at ababybib.com. And today, or, you know, for the next week, if you punch in a promo word, D-U-N, Dishing Up Nutrition, I'll give you 40% off.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's ababybib.com, and punch in D-U-N, Dishing Up Nutrition.
And all my grandchildren have used those, and so they're great. And I'm going to take a caller here. Hi, Trudy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Thanks for waiting for so long. Hi, Trudy.
Hi. I have a question. I have a son who is 17,
mm-hmm.
and he seems to suffer from headaches. I guess I don't necessarily, they aren't necessarily consistent. They seem like they come more like cluster headaches.
Okay.
He himself has kind of decided that milk definitely kind of seems to be a factor.
Okay.
So, you know, versus his stomach and when his headaches occur. And, you know, being 17, I can't control everything he puts in his mouth, but do you have any more suggestions as to where to go from here?
We work with a lot of people with migraines or, you know, cluster headaches, and it usually always goes back to food. And if you, you know, but you really have to work individually with people, because what one person is sensitive to, another one isn't. You know, maybe dairy is the only thing, and so we really pull out all the dairy products and getting him to eat frequently enough, you know, through the day so his blood sugar doesn't drop. But then maybe he is sensitive to, you know, something else, like, you know, maybe he's sensitive to eggs. You never know. Or maybe he's sensitive to the gluten, you know, the protein in wheat. So, you know, you just have to kind of problem solve. And I don't, I really, we've had wonderful results with helping people get rid of their headaches. And, you know, it's you have to kind of problem solve with people, though. And you know what? People with headaches will change their eating. You know, if they're a pop drinker, they'll quit.
Yeah.
You know, they will honestly make changes. So you've got to you know, you got him where it's going to make a difference with his whole life, and because he can't go around with these headaches all his life.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Wendy, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Hi. Before you went to last break, you mentioned the client that you helped that was having intestinal problems and said the things that she needed to eliminate from her diet, like pasta and all that. And that, what did you recommend for her to eat, like throughout the day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner? What's an example of a diet you recommended for her?
I recommended some kind of meat, you know, or eggs, and rather than you know, maybe a little bit of rice and also some vegetables, and then, you know, healthy fat like olive oil or butter or avocados or those things, and to, you know, eat smaller amounts but several times a day.
Okay.
And it worked. I mean, and I, you know, it works for most people. It just, it clears up that gastrointestinal problems that people are having.
So what about, like, whole grain breads? Is that okay?
Probably will make it doubly worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Just
there's
so
actually more gluten.
Eliminate bread.
Yep, eliminate bread and pasta and crackers and all those things, and most people feel much better.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. So, Deb, let's get back to, you know, we were going to look at a consultation. How can we do a consultation? You know, first of all, we send out a health history, and it's about 10 pages, and we ask all kinds of questions, and then if your child has had any medical testing, we say, bring them in. And the thing that I look at first is these gastrointestinal problems, like, you know, constipation, heartburn, cramps, diarrhea, you know, and because I really understand you've got to heal that intestinal tract first. So that's where we break down and digest all our foods. So we've got to make that work.
So, Dara, what causes the intestinal problems? I know that many children with autism experience a lot of constipation and cramps.
Oh, they do. It's just unbelievable. And they're picky eaters. And, you know, we know that when a baby is born, that whole intestinal tract is very sterile, like it's supposed to be. But then when babies are breastfed, they receive a very beneficial bacteria called bifidobacteria. And, I mean, Deb, you mentioned that
Willie was not breastfed. He refused to breastfeed.
And that is not uncommon for children with autism. So, you know, but normally if you get bifidobacteria, it helps the baby break down and digest foods. And then that makes brain chemicals that they need. And it also supports their immune system. And it helps them, you know, break down and have vitamins and minerals. So, you know, we have this kind of, they call it a mucosal lining in the intestinal tract, and that is made up of bifidobacteria. But some babies, like Will, he just didn't have sufficient bifidobacteria, and so he had little spaces or holes in the lining. And what happens is that makes it possible for food particles to leak through, get into the bloodstream, and guess what? The immune system says, oh, that's a foreign object. That's a bacteria. Well, no, it isn't. It's just a food particle. And so the immune system will go into alarm state and try to kill off that pretend bacteria, which is really a food particle. And then that will cause inflammation. And then we have this, it creates antibodies, and then people start having these food sensitivities. And then they have more inflammation and more food sensitivities. And in the end result is that they have gas, diarrhea, constipation, pain, and altered mood.
Willie's always had a lot of gas.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So,
where do we start?
Well, we have to heal that intestinal tract. So we have to take away all the things that could be an allergic type of food.
Like what?
Well, like gluten. Now, we've talked about last week. You know, the protein that is in wheat, barley, rye, oats, and we take it out of the diet. And then for some people, we have to take away things like dairy products.
Well, yeah, a lot of kids like that mac and cheese. It's a staple.
Oh, yes. But guess what? That staple ends up causing a lot of altered moods and probably acting out behavior for some kids. And they just can't focus. So it's a matter of, you know, it's very systematic what you have to do with kids. You have to heal that intestinal tract. So obviously we need to get some more bifidobacteria in that kid.
Uh-huh.
And we need to take away the things that they have food sensitivities to. But isn't it interesting, Deb, and I don't know if Will was like this, but a lot of times these kids only want to eat crackers and cheese, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
or cereal.
Yeah.
They don't want to eat meat.
Well, they get into a routine. They get into a routine, and it's harder to break with an autistic child.
It is. And so, you know, and those, that's kind of when we do a nutritional consultation, we look at all those different aspects. And we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing leading-edge nutrition classes for schools and businesses. You know, check out our website, weightandwellness.com. You know, pick a topic, and we'll actually come out and do a lunch and learn at your location. And we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We understand the challenges that you are facing with your children with autism and believe we can help provide workable solutions simply by removing the stressful foods. Sugar, gluten, and dairy can and will make a remarkable change. If you have doubts or questions, give Dara a call. She'll take the time to answer your personal questions.
Yes, I will. And it's really important that I try to do that with everyone that calls, is to answer their questions.
You're so good about that, Dar. You give so much of your, I mean, personal time to help people. I've seen it time and time again. But you know, Dar, you know, can I just interrupt mm-hmm. with something a little off topic? You know, thinking about Christmas and mm-hmm. with Thanksgiving and the rush to buy things. I mean, wouldn't now, especially with the financial situation, be the time to choose a gift wisely? You know, for the holidays, give a gift that has a lifetime of benefits that everyone would love, that's affordable, that's unique. Give a gift certificate from Weight and Wellness. It changed my family's life. It will do the same for yours. And, you know, employers, you want better employees that are less mm-hmm. sick and have more energy. This is a great gift. And, Dar, what's the price range for these gift certificates?
I mean, $25 to, you know.
For a lifetime of benefits.
You know, and several hundred dollars. It's, you know, just depends on what they are really wanting. I mean, we actually had an employer that paid for several of their employees to take the Weight and Wellness class. And they all took it together, and they all made changes, and it was really fun. They could carry it on back at the office, and it, you know, it's a nice way. It's a nice gift for people.
It's a thoughtful gift, something you will use the rest of your life. Something, I mean, if you can get off some of your medications, have more energy, have mm-hmm. less stress. I mean, Dara, if you don't have your health, what else do you have?
That's right, exactly, and especially
so
these days.
Give the gift of health. Use your money wisely. Pick up the phone, call Weight and Wellness. It has changed my life on so many levels, and that's why I'm here today. And hopefully if one of you pick up the phone and have a better life, then I'm happy to be here to help. Is it just, you know, where would I be? I'd be a widow. There's no doubt that my husband would not be here because he was headed for a heart attack.
And then the nice thing is she brings me gifts to come. You know, I have a beautiful apron that she, and I have my name on it now, and I'm going to put it on Thanksgiving Day, and We're going to be cooking the turkey with the apron on, and I do use an apron because I wipe my hands on it and all everything. So, you know, kind of let's get back with just a couple of more things about, you know, if you really do have a child with autism and mm-hmm. you want to kind of ease that stress that's in their system, and I think that's what we have to look at is, you know, these children have really, you know, very sensitive biochemistries, and we need to ease that stress for them. And so we really need to get some bifidobacteria back into their intestinal tract so that they can start to break down and digest their foods well. And then we have to take away some of these foods that are harder to digest, like gluten. You know, don't do the crackers. You know, cut up an apple and give that to them. And, you know, and I think a lot of mothers know that a lot of cheese is very constipating. And so you don't want to do a lot of cheese and crackers, or maybe no cheese and crackers, because you're actually making the problem even worse. And, you know, if a child has a lot of constipation, a lot of pain, that's going to come out in a behavior. And we want to eliminate that so that they can kind of adjust and be happy and in tune to what's going on, rather than worrying about what's going on in their intestinal tract. And sometimes I think that when we see these altered changes in children, it's actually coming from their intestinal tract. So, Deb, I really thank you for being here today.
My pleasure, Dar.
And, you know, we always end the show with saying, you know, food can either be your problem
or your solution.
A solution. Thanks for listening today. Thank you.